Greetings in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. From the book of Revelation we read in chapter 20, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." We read from the book of Philippians that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And then we read in the book of Romans that every knee shall bow. Friend of mine, today you should bow your knee to the Lord Jesus. Confess him as your Lord and accept him as your Savior and Master and Redeemer. But if you neglect or reject doing that, there's coming a day when you will bow and you will confess. But oh, it will be too late then, for whosoever is not found in the book of life, whosoever's name has not been inscribed there through the grace of God, cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Let us pray. Our prayer today, Heavenly Father, is that not one listener will be a part of that condemned group cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night for an ever and ever. But rather, by the grace of God, may today in simple faith they turn, repenting of sin and trusting the Lamb of God in His shed blood, that they might be saved for time and for eternity. Bless every lost listener to that end, we pray. And bless the children of God listening as well, Father, and encourage and meet the needs of all, as in His worthy name we gratefully give you our thanks. Amen. Again, we would like, for those with the correspondence courses ordered, rightly dividing the word of truth, get them out with your Bible, and once again, let's see what God has to say in His word. Just a very quick review this morning. We have been considering the contrast existing in the Word of God between the Jew and the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw they had a difference in beginning. Israel began with Abraham and God's promises to him. The Church began as born by the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. And we read that from that time on, the Lord added to the Church daily such as were being saved. They had a difference in their calling. Israel's calling, Israel's prospects related to this earth. All their promises had to do with temporal blessings, physical blessings, blessings down here. While the church is promised eternal rewards, blessings in heaven, the sweet by and by. Also, there's a difference, there's many a contrast between their conduct, the manner in which they live, the way in which they conduct themselves. Israel practiced, and we mentioned the last week, still practices an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, while the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ follows the example laid down by the Son of God, the Christ of the living God. We turn the other cheek. We're taught to pray for them that despitefully use us and bless those that would curse us. So there's a contrast in the way we're taught from the Word of God to conduct ourselves. Also, we previously considered the worship and the great contrast that exists here. Israel could come into God's presence and worship Him only at a distance. It was through the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron, the priesthood, that they could come into the holy place, and only into the most holy place once a year, through the high priest, and then, of course, with blood. But bless God, He has invited us, urged us, exhorted us to come into His holy presence. For the veil of the temple was rent in twain the day the Son of God died on the cross, rent from top to bottom, indicating to us that there is access into His holy presence through the shed blood, of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus. We are taught in the Word of God that we who are Christians are priests, and as priests we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God, again, through the Lord Jesus. We come with hearts that overflow. We come as did Mary of old and sit at the Master's feet and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. For truly today He is seeking worshipers, and they that would worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. My, we could spend weeks talking about the subject of worship, the privilege of worship, that occupation which we will pursue throughout all eternity, gathering with the redeemed of all ages, singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb to receive praise and honor and worship and glory and majesty. For He's redeemed us to God by His blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Our portion through eternity will be to worship at His feet. I trust, friend of mine, that you've been getting a little practice down here. You've been serving your apprenticeship down here, worshiping Him. For those that worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth. Well, there are contrasts, there are differences in every area we have mentioned, but perhaps no greater contrast exists than has to do with the future for Israel and the future for the church. In the predictions concerning the future of Israel and the church, the distinction is startling. The church will be taken away from the earth entirely, but restored Israel is yet to have her greatest earthly splendor and power. Of course, as mentioned previously on one of our broadcasts, Israel is yet, we are speaking of the nation of Israel, nationally Israel is facing its worst day, its most fierce day, the day of Israel's greatest trouble as we read about it from the book of Daniel, from the book of Matthew, from other portions. The nation that rejected her Messiah, they think they've suffered up until this day. And I certainly wouldn't minimize the suffering that the nation of Israel has endured from many other nations. But their greatest day of trouble, the day of Jacob's trouble as described in the book of Daniel, is a day of great tribulation when the wrath of God will be poured out upon them as well as other nations, other Christ rejectors. But then, for a small portion of them, for a group known as the remnant, that great day of God's blessing for them is yet to come. But should there be some of the descendants of Abraham by nature listening today, let me tell you that you can be a part of His church, of His bride. Jew and Gentile today come on the same terms, described in the Word of God as guilty rebels, lost sinners, men and women who are condemned under the wrath of a sin-hating God. We all come the same way in sin, just as we are. And as we bow at His feet, as we bow low in worship and accept the Lamb of God, the risen, coming King as our Master and Redeemer, He imparts to us His gift, His free gift, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness through His own blood. It's available for all men and women. Boys and girls, Jew and Gentile, all alike come, guilty, needy, rebels, and acknowledge our guilt and trust the Savior. And He says, I give unto them eternal life, and that life is in His Son. And he that has the Son has eternal life. He or she who has not the Son of God has not life. Brother John says they're condemned already. But these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We come the same way because we have the same need. We're guilty. We're lost. We're rebellious people. But bless God, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. But what about the future? What about the future, first of all, for the church? Reading from John chapter 14, we read, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I've never lied to you. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Paul told Timothy, God who cannot lie, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the promise God gave through the Lord Jesus, God the Son, gave to his disciples just before he was crucified. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And incidentally, as he died there on the cross, he said, it's finished. It's completed. The work is done. And he provides for us eternal life. He provides for us a home in heaven. He said, now I'm going to prepare this place and I'm going to come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now where is he today? Well, in Acts chapter 1, we see him as witnessed by the disciples ascending into heaven. The angel said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which ye have seen taken up shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. In the case of Stephen, the first martyr, an early deacon, he was stoned to death for preaching Christ, and he looked up and he saw the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, standing in heaven, waiting to receive him. Time and time again we read of these promises that he is coming. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he's in heaven. He's coming back for us to take us to be with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that he's in heaven. He's going to descend with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised up, and all together we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Let us look at another verse, this time from Philippians chapter 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Yes, beloved, our citizenship's in heaven. And he's coming for us. And our inheritance is over there. Reading from 1 John 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not when you die, beloved. If you're a Christian, you're his child now. Going on, though, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you say amen to that? Praise the Lord. Those of us are here that are going to be made like him. And from Revelation 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You've been invited. Have you accepted his invitation? From Revelation 20, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Of such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Are you ready to go? Bless God, I am. I've got my reservation in, and he's promised to come back for me. And for the Christian, our inheritance is with him. Our citizenship is up there. Get ready, friend of mine. He's coming. It could be today. Next week, God willing, we'll see about the future of Israel. But the future of the church, the future of the Christians, is with him where he is. The future of those out of Christ is that lake of fire. I hope you don't have a reservation down there. Trust the Savior. Be born again today. He'll give you his gift of eternal life. He promises so. Amen.